It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was 50 years ago today, Friday, November 22nd, 1963, that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. With the exception of the attack on Pearl Harbor, it was the first time that such a nationally traumatizing event had occurred during the age of broadcast journalism, and it was certainly a first for the television age. Joining us to discuss the impact President Kennedy's assassination had on television news coverage of breaking events is Jeff Ritter, Chair of the Department of Communication, Media, and Technology at La Roche College. Jeff, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Happy to be here.
How did this, the assassination of President Kennedy, change the way that we look at broadcast news and change television and the way we get information?
Well, it's got to be the harbinger of all the things to come, with TV being the centerpiece for community and information for American society through the 60s, 70s. 80s, really through most of the 90s, up until the internet age. TV is really the centerpiece of American life. The community and information and all the things that are happening come through TV, and that's almost the electronic hearth idea. And this has got to be the first event of that whole period.
And so people are going about their business on Friday, November 22nd, 1963. It's the middle of the day. People are at work. Kids are in school, and then all of a sudden the news on both the radio and television is interrupted with an announcement. And in the case of CBS, they were in the middle of a soap opera when Walter Cronkite came on to make this announcement.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. More details just arrived. President Kennedy shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed Mr. Kennedy. She called, "Oh no," the motorcade sped on. United Press says that the wounds for President Kennedy perhaps could be fatal.
And that was Walter Cronkite interrupting a soap opera on CBS, on the CBS television network, and it was something that they had to scramble to do. Explain what was going on behind the scenes here, Jeff.
Well, there was just voice there, like a radio broadcast, and Cronkite had experience, at least, of course, he came from radio.
But there was just a slate that said...
Special bulletin on the screen, that's all you saw.
And why was that?
The camera wasn't ready. They weren't in the newsroom yet. It takes a while to warm up the tube cameras from the old days and get them adjusted, even, to go on the air. So things aren't going to happen very quickly, but... And I'm amazed at his voice in that, hearing it just again. It's not emotional. It's a flat, this is important news idea is in there, but he's not letting his emotions carry him like he does a little bit later when you can hear the emotion in his voice.
And, of course, at this point, they don't know how serious it is. I mean, for all anybody knew, it could have been a flesh wound. He was being taken to the hospital, and there was an intervening amount of time between when it was confirmed that the president had been shot and when it was confirmed that he was dead. There was a great deal of time for people to hope, or enough time certainly, yeah, for people to hope that he was going to survive in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and but hearing his voice there, and again, there's probably hundreds at least of radio stations doing the same thing, and that may be where most people heard the news first. Remember, at home on TV, housewives, the old-fashioned word, housewives were home, but most people at work or in a work environment or in vehicles would have heard it on the radio. People in schools heard it on the radio. From people who listened to the radio during the day, it was a normal thing, and in many offices, and so they heard it first on radio.
But then the camera gets powered up, and Walter Cronkite is then seen in the CBS newsroom, and then comes this announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
And at that point, Cronkite, you can see him, And viewers can see that he is choking back tears.
Yeah.
He manages to maintain his composure. What about Cronkite's comportment in that moment? How does it impact viewers?
Well, we can hear it even just with the voice here on the radio. We know it from our mind's eye when he takes off his glasses and looks up at the clock. And that's all that really brings the strong emotion forth to us, is that with the eyes, of course, that's where the tears come from. So we know something's happening there. He's looking at the clock. He's delaying a little bit, slowing down his delivery than he did from the radio.
Because it's the gravity of it is hitting him.
And it's affecting him strongly. Is that a harbinger of what to come? You know, news and journalists have always had this thing of this detachment, of being objective, and all those things that have been important in the professionalization of journalism that came in the 50s and 60s. But when it comes to national events of extreme significance, and I remember Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassination, and of course 9/11, you get to those things and they're allowed to express themselves in little tiny nonverbal, really, signals that tell us it's okay to feel at this moment what we're all feeling. And in some ways they're expressing it for us. That's what some of it does.
So you're saying this is where television anchormen came of age?
You could put it that way. I mean, he's still part of the, he continues a long career of objective journalism, of course, with his own. Back then they did editorials at the end of the news, and so Cronkite's famous for his editorial about Vietnam, where he changed the fate of the war, really, in some ways. But the delivery of the news is still straight. It's still flat. It's still – this is remember, that's the way it is. That's the way it was from Cronkite. But it does bring up the face of journalism on TV news as being part of the community, part of the hearth, part of the whole country's perspective on what's going on and what do we really need to know, and the trust that Cronkite had and the others had too.
So from the standpoint of people are getting information, they're going to this place to get it, but at the same time there's this sense of grieving together, experiencing it all together.
When things like that happen, yeah. But not for everyday news. For everyday news, this is what's important and what you should know, and you have the trusted face and voice, of course, that makes you feel this is what and you walk away from it going, I did a good thing today. I got informed.
Right. But how much does this, Jeff, this moment in particular, how much does this contribute to this idea of the anchorman as father figure? Because in a sense, people are in shock. They are sad. And they're going through it with Walter Cronkite. I mean, is this sort of the moment when the anchorman, when people used to call him Uncle Walter, where mm-hmm. he's taking you by the hand and saying, I've got some bad news for you.
Yeah. Certainly for that time period, it was very important. And the next 3 days, 4 days of news, remember the cameras are there when they're unloading the coffin, the whole funeral, all the procession that went on. And he was there. He was up for many, many hours throughout that. Yeah, bringing us through that.
We're talking with Jeff Ritter. He is the chair of the Department of Communication, Media, and Technology at La Roche College about the impact that the Kennedy assassination 50 years ago today had on television news and its ability to cover breaking events. As you mentioned, Jeff, people spent that weekend in front of the television. Things were happening. Things were breaking in Dallas. Information was coming from all over. And people were watching on television and getting the information before the newspapers could possibly put it out. Is this when television surpassed newspapers as the place to go for news?
Yes. That's what's significant for the next 30, 40 years is TV as a centerpiece of information for people's lives. And newspapers did okay, thrived through much of that era with classifieds and with advertising and all the other things that are important for newspapers to do, plus editorials and local news that you're not going to get anywhere else. But the TV becomes the centerpiece for news, the 6 o'clock news for national, the local news, which didn't exist really before that at all. Now local news is, or has been for the past 30, 40 years, an important part of every region is the local news on the 3 or 4 channels that do it. But that may be reaching an end soon too.
Well, I don't, according to the amount of money that's still being charged for advertising, television news is still from its the standpoint of its ability to create a profit. Which, let's face it, that's But what did this do for the confidence of television journalists? The fact that they were able to beat the news, you know, they were sort of living in the shadow of newspapers up until that point, weren't they?
Yeah, but they start to, that starts the roll towards international. You know, CBS and its international news, biggest newscast, Huntley Brinkley. Frank McGee, we get all those storied names from the 60s and 70s who had great reputations and covered incredible events around the world. The Munich Olympics is one that comes to mind for me, of TV news doing an incredible job over a long period of time. And they spent a lot of money and they made a lot of money. But they were also seen as the important flagships for the networks for their prestige of having news. And sometimes they said, we're going to spend the money even if it doesn't make a lot of money because this is our reputation. The Tiffany Network, CBS, saying showing it around the world and having bureaus everywhere, that's part of what we have to do and our responsibility to the public.
Now, going back to the Kennedy assassination on the weekend, starting on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, as events unfolded during the weekend, it began to get surreal. And then by Sunday, November 24th, they were transferring the president's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, from police headquarters to the county jail. And you mentioned Frank McGee. Here is what happened as it ended up being shown live on NBC.
To Dallas, Texas, and Tom Pettit.
There is the president. There is Lee Oswald. He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot. Pandemonium has broken loose here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Now, whether the bullet literally hit Oswald or not, we are not absolutely positive. But there has been a gunshot. Oswald reached for his stomach, doubled up. It'll be impossible to determine whether he was hit or not. Did you see whether or not he was hit? He was hit, wasn't he?
He grabbed himself on the side and fell to the ground.
That was my understanding. We were, what, 4 feet away from
him? I was 5 feet in front of him when they shot.
What is your name?
Frank Johnson.
And you're with?
UPI.
He did grab his stomach. I saw him grab
his
stomach.
Right from the side.
A lot to parse through here. Someone referred to this moment as the beginning of reality TV. How would you characterize it? And we're looking at each other as we're hearing this. This is incredible.
Yeah, that's real. You can't get any more real than that. Being killed live on television, just the happening of it is, and I like your use of the word surreal. It's the least thing you would expect to happen. We're watching something, the process of law taking place, officials, protection, tons of police armed police officers everywhere, and the most unexpected thing happens. It's one of the biggest conundrums of the entire Kennedy assassination scenario is killing of Oswald. Just amazing on television.
Well, that plus the fact that he had been, even before that, been paraded before the reporters, before he even had a lawyer.
Yep.
They're letting the reporters ask him questions and the cameras are there live. And the police aren't prepared for this.
They have no idea what to do, really, for the whole process of what's going on. And I like the way he calls him Lee Oswald. It's before he gets the three names that assassins always get, you know, the three names. And it's just Lee Oswald. It's funny to hear him referred to like that.
And there is the moment, too, when you could hear Tom Pettit, the reporter on the scene, questioning, did I just see what I thought I saw? You know, he was shot, wasn't he? Right,
yeah.
And he's like appealing to somebody else to, just to make sure that he wasn't hallucinating because it does seem so impossible that it could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting at home watching this. You're waiting for some feeling of closure. Okay, they've got him. They're going to go through court. He's going to be convicted, and everything just gets torn apart right in front of you. And now you've got another mystery that lasts forever about Oswald himself.
Exactly. And people still wonder to this day whether he acted alone, if someone else was involved, and who knows when or if those questions will ever be answered. Jeff Ritter is the chair of the Department of Communications, Media, and Technology at La Roche College. And, Jeff, it's been a pleasure again visiting with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
And speaking of closure, coming up, we'll hear how a local theater is remembering the day JFK was assassinated. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.